You can be taking your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. You know, why are we making such a big deal out of Missions Conference? Why? And why is it so prominent in us making a sacrifice or a commitment? Why? What's the big deal? And I really tell you what the big deal is. The big deal is that if it means that much to the King, then it ought to mean that much to me. Have you ever had something that you weren't very much interested in, but because one of your children were interested in it, you got interested in it because of them? Or maybe, I'm sure this has been never the case, but maybe your wife was interested in something, but you weren't interested in it at all, you know, like shopping or going to a certain restaurant that's very dainty. And maybe you weren't interested in that, but you got interested in it because you loved her. Maybe, ladies, maybe you're not interested at all in all the manly hobbies that your husband has, but you try to be interested in it because you know he is. Well, you know, I'd say this to you. If something is important to Jesus, not a little bit, but if it means everything to him, then it ought to mean everything to me. Whether or not I have an interest, now I do have a great interest in missions, and it's not just because I've been a missionary. And I have a great interest in missions, not just because I'm a pastor and I want to help the work of God be what God wants it to be biblically. But I'm also interested in missions, and I got interested in missions a long, long time ago through the influence of a good church, a good grandfather, a good heritage. But the reason that I'm really interested in missions is just because it just means so much to the one that saved me. And if there was no other reason, if it wasn't the souls of men, which it is, they hang in the balance, they really do. If it weren't for the fact there's so many places that they couldn't drive 30 minutes in the snow to go to church if they wanted to. They couldn't do that. It's not just because of the need that I'm interested. The need is overwhelming. Sometimes Americans don't go look on the fields and they never visit a mission field and they never go outside of where they live because then they'll have a different perspective of life. They'll know that there's somebody else out there besides us. And one of the best things, and we've done it, and we were delayed this year, this past year, and I don't know about this year either, on missions trips, is so that we can see there's a world out there. And there are people out there that we need to be burdened for. And it's easy not to think about them and not be interested and not mean much to us because I don't see somebody that lives in the Philippines every day. I don't have to rub shoulders with somebody that was born in Costa Rica. I don't have to worry about somebody in Mongolia that would have to ride a camel for an hour to hear the Word of God and be saved. I never rub shoulders with those people. So it's easy for me not to be even interested in that. But whether or not any of that was the case, why is this a big deal? Why do we go out of our way and have dinners and all these missionaries in and show slides and get cards printed up and try to get encouraged to give and bring? Why do we do all that? Because it means so much to God. That's why. It's His priority. And we know it's His priority because He told us, not just in Matthew, but He told us in Mark, and then He reminded us again in Luke, and then He said it again in John, and then as soon as He hit Acts, I mean, you can't read the first five books of the Bible without every one of them telling you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The New Testament starts with get it to the world, because that's the heartbeat of the Lord. And so, if we have the right priority, the priority of the King should be my priority. And in Romans chapter 10, and reaching all those nations. Now, if the Lord told us to reach all the nations, how are we going to reach all the nations if we take the commandment personally And we should, in things in the Bible, we shouldn't say they're written for somebody else to do. They weren't written for the angels to do. They're written for us to do. How am I going to reach all nations when I probably will never visit all the nations in my lifetime? Hey, guys, if I showed you I've gone through several passports, you know, even as a pastor and then as a missionary and now a pastor again. I've gone through several passports, and I remember one time I had to get my passport. I had to put extra pages in the middle because there was no room for them to stamp anymore, just because I'd been to so many countries and had been in and out of them so many times and so many continents. I've even lost count. I don't even know how many countries I've been in. 20-some, 30 now. I don't know how many countries I've been in. But there will be countries I'll never go to in my lifetime, even though I've done all that. But when the Lord said all nations, how am I going to be involved in that? Listen, this is the only way you're going to be involved in all nations. The only way. There is no other way we can be involved unless you think you can organize your retirement and buy a plane ticket and visit every nation until now you, day you die, which is over 200 countries, and go visit every one of them and take every one of them the gospel. You're not going to do that. And Missions Conference and Faith Promise Giving is the only way that we can reach out and touch nations that otherwise we wouldn't be concerned about. Romans chapter 10, you know the verses. He says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We say, well, that's great. Well, that's great for you. But the next verse says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You see what the context? You know what we do with Romans 10:19 or 10:13? You know what we do with it? We use Romans 10:13 to describe how we got saved. Do you know that's not the intent of Romans 10:13? The context of Romans 10:13 is, okay, this is how you get saved, but how are people ever going to call on the name of the Lord if they don't ever hear about Him? The whole intention of Romans 10:13 is to touch our hearts so that the nations of the world will know that they can call upon somebody's name and believe. Isn't it interesting how we take a verse of the Bible and we just apply it to me? When Romans 10:13 is not a verse that's meant to just apply to you. It's meant to get you excited about applying it to the world. How easy it is to be saved, right? That's easy. Now, you got to be serious in your heart about it, but that's easy. So you got something that's so easy that people have never even heard about. And we know. So look at the next verse. He said, verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent." You say, well, God sends them. Yes, He does, but He's not the only one that sends them. You know, the pattern of the New Testament is when they sent out the first missionaries. You know who sent them out? God didn't just send them out. They were sent out by the church. In other words, it was the church that got together and sent them out, and that was Acts 13, by the way. They were actually called of God, and the Holy Ghost called them to that work. But the church, the Bible said in Acts 13:3, sent them away. It was the church that did that. So you know what? When he says, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" He's putting that on us. So how are we going to fulfill what matters to the King? How are we going to get interested in doing what is interesting to the King? How are we going to reach all those nations? We're not going to go personally. Not all of us. Well, you can send somebody. So that's the only two choices. So really, you can either do this or you can go. That's really Christianity. And if it's not, then Romans 10:13 about calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved really doesn't have the meaning in your life why God put it there. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Look, before this week, and I'm pretty knowledgeable on the map. I look for countries where we don't have a missionary. I spent hours trying to find a missionary to Uruguay. It's a little country in the middle of South America that I've never heard of any missionary going there. And I thought, man, I got to find somebody. You know why? Because I take it very personally that God says that we're to reach all the nations. And the only way I'm going to reach somebody, the only way I'm going to reach Uruguay is if I find somebody I can help send there. I found a guy. Woo! Brother Chuck, woo, woo! I found a guy to Uruguay. And then while I was looking, I found another country in South America that was off my radar, Suriname. You know, when I say Suriname, you think that's over around India somewhere. That's in South America. So, if we're going to be involved in what God is interested in, this is the way to do it. Or you can take your family and go to Suriname. Do you care about the people in Suriname? This is the only way you'll care about the people in Suriname. That's just practically speaking. That's true. Because you're not going to go there. You'll never give a tract to somebody in Suriname. You'll never witness to anybody's mother or father or teenager in Suriname. You'll never do it. Outside of America, you'll never do it. But you can do it that way. That's why that's important. That's why missions conference is important, because we are sending people. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So in doing that, I think we need to keep 1 Corinthians 4 in mind. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. By the way, with the other hand, just go ahead and grab 1 Peter chapter 4. There's a word in both of these verses. 1 Peter 4 and 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ." And I want you to watch that word, stewards. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Usually when we think of stewards, we think of somebody being responsible for somebody else's money. But stewardship's not just about money. It's stewardship is being responsible or managing things that you have received from something else. It doesn't have to be money, it could be anything. To be a steward is to be a keeper of a trust of something, even though you don't own it. Listen to me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? A steward is being faithful to keep something or entrusted with something that you don't own. That's what a steward is. Now, that's not just money. By the way, you don't own your money. You say, "I sure don't." No, you don't, because it's not your money. It's the Lord's money. And if you don't believe that, you need to read the book of Luke, where Jesus said, "You should have taken my money." Guys, when we realize that everything we have belongs to God, then all we have to do is be good stewards of it. But it's not just money. He said in verse 1 that we need to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. So that's the things that God's taught you, or the things you know. You know, the good things you know from the Bible. Those didn't belong to you. They belong to God. God has just entrusted those truths to you. And you and I need to be faithful with the truths that He's given us. Some people get truths and they don't ever do anything with them. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll read that to you. He said in 1 Peter 4 verse number 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So God gives you His grace for you to be a good steward. The grace belongs to God, but He says, "I'm going to leave it with you and entrust it with you." The mysteries of God belong to Him, but He gives them to us and trusts them with us, that we'll be faithful with them. All that we have, you know, our bodies. You know, your body, you're more than just your body. One day you're going to leave your body. Your body's just a shell. Your body's like a car, man. One day you're going to get out of your body just like you got out of your car tonight. Praise the Lord. And God has loaned you a body. He's the one that made it. He says, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? Your body belongs to God. It doesn't even belong to you. But you're to be a good steward of the body that He gave you. You're to be a good steward of the truth, the doctrine, the Word of God that He gave you. You're to be a good steward of the grace of God that He gave you. You and I are to be good stewards of the money, the things that He gives us. Now, let me give you a terrible example how most people are with the things God gives them. What if I told you a story about somebody that went to the mission field, and when they went to the mission field, they left an antique, I mean, the car was just something you can't buy. And maybe it was a fastback Mustang or something like that. It was a car you can't buy, an old car, that just vintage, you know, worth tens of thousands of dollars. And this missionary was going to go to the mission field, and he left this car to his brother to keep. And while he was gone away, he gave his brother, he said, now you take care of it, and I'm going to give it to you. You can drive it. You can do whatever you want to do with it, but I'm trusting you with it, and I'm entrusting this car. You just take care of it. And he goes off to the mission field. And while he's on the mission field, I mean, his brother, he just gets in that car. He just burns the tires. I mean, he rides it up and down the road and just burns out the engine. Doesn't take care of it. I mean, he tracks in it all kind of mud and dirt. When he backs up, you know, into the parking lots where he goes, he starts dinging it, you know. He hits the post. He hits the post at the parking lot, and he looks at it, and there's a big ding, and he just drives on and just trashes the car. And his brother on furlough comes back. And this vintage car that didn't have a spot on it, all shiny, worth tens of thousands of dollars, he comes back and he's messed the transmission up by hot rodding it. It's not taken care of. It's dented all over. The interior has just been trashed. And he comes back to his brother, and his brother says, thanks for the ride, and gives him the keys back. Now, if you owned that car, what would you think about that guy? Would you say, hope you enjoyed it? No, you'd be furious. Why? Because you entrusted them to take care of that. Now, guys, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done with us. He has entrusted with us our bodies, our lives, our money, our health, the good doctrine that He's given us, the truth that we know, the good grace of God that He's entrusted to us to take care of it and to do with it what He wants us to do with it and make sure it's taken care of. And if we are not faithful with that, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, He'll come back to that steward and He'll say, give an account of thy stewardship. What have you done with what I've given you? You say, well, preacher, how am I supposed to be a good steward, faithful with what God's given me? Well, the first thing I want to tell you, and this is so important, because I think there are a lot of sincere Christians that really want to do something for God, but they can't. And it's because they're in debt. If you are deeply in debt, you're not being a good steward. You're just not. You know, you can get so far in debt you can't ever get out. You can have so many credit card debts and so many payments that one day, you know, a lot of people in our society, they declare bankruptcy and they can't go anymore because they just got so far in debt. Whatever you want to say about debt, it's called not being a good steward of what you have. Because if you don't have something, you don't continually go in debt to get what you want just because you don't have it. Now, there are parts of debt that can be managed, but when When debt keeps you from doing what God wants you to do, you need to start taking care of your debts. Because you won't be able to do what God wants you to do. And start coming back on those and pay. And you know, credit cards, I can, you know, some people have talked about debt that has an intrinsic value in something and that the value keeps growing. But most of the things people get in debt for are not things that go up in value, but things that go down in value. Now, if you go in debt for a house, especially in this area, your value will probably go up in what you're putting your debt into. But if you put it into an iPhone, I promise you, your debt's going to go down. If you put it into a car, immediately when you drive it off the lot, it's going to go down. So we've got to be careful because there's so many churches and so many people that can't get involved with the work of God because they're just too far in debt. And I know, look, I'm not putting anybody, trying to put anybody down. It takes a step-by-step part of life to get out of that situation. You don't just, okay, preacher said it tonight, let's get out in debt tomorrow. That's just not reality for most people. But you know what? You can make steps toward that instead of year after year making steps in the wrong direction. That's part of being a good steward. He tells us in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14:40, to do all things decently and in order. He tells us in Romans 12:11 to not be slothful in business. And that's one reason why we have faith promises, because it is an orderly process to determine a year in advance if we can help these 9 missionaries. To know what we can give to them. It's being a good, faithful steward in business. I'd love to take on 50 missionaries tomorrow, but we can't just do that just because we want to. We've got to not be slothful in our business. And so we all together in an orderly process, in a wise and diligent way, ascertain what can we do because we want to be wise in our business. And I believe that's why in the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they planned a year in advance what they were going to do. Now, with Americans, if I said, all right, we're going to plan a year in advance, this is really what happened here. If I said, okay, February, let's all make a promise this next week, a promise of what we're going to give to missions, and then we'll take it all up February of next year. How do you think that worked? You know why? You know why, don't you? Because all that money that they should have set aside. Now you see why Paul was a little nervous? You planned a year ago to do this. So you know what we've done? We've said, you know, we're just not that spiritual. We're going to plan a year in advance what we're going to do, and we're going to take a bite out of that elephant every week. Amen. We're going to do it every week, or we're going to do it every month. So that we can decently in order not be slothful in our business, and we do all things decently in order. It's really a practicality thing as well. You know, these missionaries have made a commitment, and we want to make a commitment to them. And so the church can't, you know, I'm not the church, we're the church. So it's our commitment jointly, and we should expect no less from them, and they should expect no less from us. The Bible tells us also, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. We've already preached on that in 2 Corinthians 9:7. So it's a purpose. You've got to purpose this in your heart. That means it's not unplanned. Some people say, well, I don't need to give a faith promise. I'll just show up on Sunday and give what... No. He said they had a purpose. That they purposefully planned what they were going to do. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. So this giving was not unplanned, this giving was not unprepared, and it was not unorganized. It was very purposeful. Now, nobody pressures anybody into doing anything, but we are telling you to get with God and find the purpose amount that He wants you to give. You say, how do I do that? Well, let me help you. If you've never started, and we've got people in our church that have never given a faith promise. We got new people in our church. We probably got people online that are going to send in a faith promise that never even visited our church before. Don't laugh. I mean, sometimes I look at that online giving and I say, who is that? I don't know where it came from. I don't know who the person is. But you say, how do I plan this out? What do I do? Well, you start. You got to start somewhere. And wherever you start, start it by faith. It's got to be something by faith. But I say this, make it something more important than just the insignificant things in your life. Look, guys, probably not everybody in the church, but probably 90% of the people in our church have a phone bill. Now, whatever that you pay on your phone bill, if that's where you have to start, look at your phone bill and say, I'm paying this much for my phone, and compare it to what you're thinking about doing with God. Or let's move from the phone. How about your cable bill? Because people all the time said, I don't have any money to give. And some people don't have, you know, my son at 9 years old didn't have any money to give. But he sold candy bars to get money. There's ways to get money in America. You know how I know that? Because you can go in the poorest places, amen, in North Alabama, and they got cable. In Romania, I would go to gypsy houses that had dirt floors and thatch roofs, and I'd walk in there and they'd have TV set in there. That's not a joke. They had running sewers and they had television in their house. So what do you need to do? Get your phone bill. And then let me ask you a question. You probably would answer you can't live without your phone, probably. Though we lived a long time without phones. I mean, I'd have a hard time now too, but growing up, man, we didn't have any phone. We had a life. Now we have phones and we don't have life. That's another subject. You could probably live without cable. Matter of fact, you'd probably be better off. I'm not telling you to do away with your cable, but I'm saying this. Take your cable bill, add it to your phone bill, see what that is a month. And then think about what you're planning on giving to missions. Is that fair? I'll give you another one. Add up what you're feeding add up what you're spending to feed your pets. Is that fair? Some people think they can't, but you can live without a pet. You can. I'm proof of it. And I've had dogs all my life. I don't have them no more. Now, here's a question. I know what dog food costs. And you know what? I had to go buy the dog food that was with lamb and rice because I'm not going to explain why, but there was reason. Anyway, I want to get the nicer dog food for my dog. Add all that up and then look at your card. I'm telling you, you'll probably shock yourself about how much money you spend on things that don't matter a hill of beans. And the thing that really he is interested in. Now, some of us have gone that far and we've taken that step. And praise the Lord, preacher, I give more to God than my cable bill a month. And we've taken a farther step and we've said, you know what? I ought to be giving God as much to get the gospel around the world as I give to my local church. And so some people have brought their mission giving up to the level of their tithe. Because I don't want to feel guilty in the fact that I have this wonderful church, but the whole world doesn't. So I want to give at least as much so they can have a church like mine. You say, wow, if I did that, that'd be 20% of my income. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you know how much those Jews gave of their, they didn't just give 10%. They gave a whole lot more than that. You said, preacher, I couldn't live if I did that. Well, don't do that. Do the cable and the phone thing and the dog food thing. But go somewhere. Look, guys, you got to have a place to go. Remember, why? Why the fuss? It's important to the king. He's interested in this. I want to be interested in it. And then where I think God really wants all of us to get, it takes a lot of faith. It takes growing in the Lord to get there. I think God wants us to get to the point that it is the biggest item in our checkbook every month. In other words, God is at the very top, and reaching the world is at the very top. It's more important to me than anything else. When I look at my expenses for the month, my mortgage, whatever, the thing is that's at the top is my giving to my king. Now, that might seem radical to you, but there's several people that are doing that and even more. And I guarantee you, if you ever get to that place, when you meet Jesus, if the king comes this year, you will not be sorry of anything you gave to him. You may be embarrassed about what you didn't give to him. So purpose in your heart. And then I'm going to end up, I've had some people, I say this every year because, you know, you do have new people. You have people listen that don't normally, through the year, aren't with you. And we're on live stream and stuff now like we've never been before on the internet and all that. There are some people that say, well, you know, I believe in missions, but I just don't believe in that card. And I want to explain that and I'm finished tonight. Some people say, well, it's not a biblical thing. I beg to differ with you because of the Corinthians. But even if I gave you that and said it wasn't biblical, I would say this. If we took away everything that we did that we couldn't find in the Bible, do you know what would happen? We would get rid of the air condition. You said, we'd get rid of the lights. You said, preacher, now that's silly. Not to the Amish. Are you listening to me? Now, you can say, well, no, that's just dumb, preacher. We don't have to, electricity, that don't have to be in the Bible. I mean, that's, God didn't mind us putting electric lights in the church. You ask an Amish person that. He'll tell you you're backslid because it's not in the Bible. And you know what? That's stupid. It is stupid. Lights, okay. There's no flushing toilets in the Bible, but I got one. There are no pews in the Bible. There's a pulpit, but no pews. There's not a midweek service in the Bible. Do we cancel that? There's no Sunday school in the Bible. Do we cancel that? There's not a nursery in the Bible. See there? No nursery. Yeah, there's no nursery, but there's no parking lots in the Bible either. There are not even any cars in the Bible. You send out preacher now. That's secular things. You can't separate secular and sacred things. Because if you're saved, everything is sacred. Did I just blow a gasket there? Everything in your life is supposed to be about God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. So these people that say that car's not in the Bible, well, who gives you the permission to drive a car because the car's not in the Bible? Oh, preacher, that's silly. No, it's silly to say something is not in the Bible, so I'm not going to do it, just to try to get out of doing it. Right. You know what the Bible says? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what's good? Giving money to missionaries is good. Amen. And however way we can do that is a good thing. It's not a sinful thing. We're not passing out marijuana sticks. We're not doing that. There's nothing sinful about it. Amen. Hey, you'll be surprised. There's somebody out there listening to me right now that said, all those cards, I just don't know, but I've never found that in the Bible. Yeah, there's no choirs in the Bible or pianos or hymn books or buildings or altar calls or tithes. Well, let's just get rid of it. If you got rid of all of it, you'll all go under a tree and sing Kumbaya, and that'll be it. That's all you'll have. Because you know what? God gave us the sense to use the the blessings and the things that He's given us to advance the work of God. Why do we have padded pews? We don't have to have padded pews. It helps. Ask Job. Amen. That's why we have a nursery. That's why we have a junior church. That's why we have hymn books. It helps. Aren't you glad you can open up something and you actually know what the words are? Instead of having to memorize all of it? So, the people that say it's not biblical are the same people that sign mortgages and sign car payments. And it doesn't hold water. And it's a very spiritual thing to let the Holy Ghost lead you what to do. And I'm hoping you're praying about it. I've been praying, already talking to my wife about it as well. And you need to be praying about it. It's a very spiritual exercise. You know why? It's the one time, guys. It's the one time in our lives that we have got our eyes on others instead of ourselves. Because we don't get anything out of this. We don't get anything. We don't get a new church building. We don't get the light bill paid. The teens don't get a youth activity out of this. We don't get anything out of it. It focuses us on others, which is where Christianity is supposed to be.